Hey, everybody. This is Ayaz Akhtar here. I have no lower third yet because this isn't even a real show yet. And if you're wondering, hey, what exactly is this program? I wanted to do a show about the quest for inner peace. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous. If you've ever seen me on other shows, you might have seen me arguing with people. And it looks like I'm really, really angry. I'm not angry. I just happen to be very intense. It's a word that's been used to describe me for a very long time. Intense. And one of the things I've become very intense about over the past couple of years, since the birth of my son, or actually before the birth of my son, was trying to figure out how the hell are people happy? You know, I see people out there, they're smiling and stuff, and I'm always like, my brow is furrowed, and I'm always just worked up, you know, it's constantly trying to problem solve. And I realized there's more to life than just trying to solve problems. There's just being content. Now, for the longest time, I thought that being content was like being complacent. And then after doing a lot of reading, I've been reading a lot of different things all over the internet and in books and audiobooks and pretty much just listening to people. And I've been trying to figure out what's not the key to inner peace, but how do they even achieve something like that? And I know it's a very human thing to try to find what it is to be happy. So what I'm going to do in this show is I don't have a real format. I figure a format's going to come, but maybe we'll do interviews. So thankfully, we're on the Guys from Queens network. I'm a guy from Queens. So I said, hey, why not hang out with Guys from Queens? So we got Andrew Zarian on, who's graciously allowed us on his internet waves, not airwaves. What would you call them?
Radio, I don't know, transmitter, I don't know. Hey, guys.
Earn your packets. Thanks for your packets.
You're welcome. As you know what they say in the business, my packets are your packets.
Exactly. Now, Andrew, we've gotten to talk and known each other for a while now, but if people are watching this show and they just know me and they're like, who is this guy? What exactly do you do?
I do a whole lot of nothing. I stare at a wall. Actually, I stare at a painting of myself all day, and I just talk into a microphone. I started the GFK network about 5 years ago. It's going to be 5 years in about a month. It's a internet broadcasting network. I was in IT. I got laid off on my IT job. I was a big podcasting fan, always been a fan of radio. Growing up in New York, I listened to Howard religiously, and then I discovered, obviously, other radio programs as I got older. But I always had an interest in radio and talk radio in general. So one of my buddies, he's a pretty established stand-up comic here in New York, and he told me, he's like, hey, you want to do this thing called a podcast? I don't have the room. I live in a tiny little, you know, box of an apartment in Manhattan, so could I use your office? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll join you, and I'll do it with you. One thing led to another, and it became a full-time career for me. And now we do, you know, 13, 14 shows a week, and we're producing all different types of content. Obviously, you're on here, and it's become a dream job of sorts.
Yeah, well, for me, I like to be more of a cog in a machine. Running the business side of stuff, I had a business minor in school, and I just running that kind of stuff just always bugged me. I'm more of a content guy. I like making programs. I like presenting information. I like digesting information and getting that out to people. Now, you're on the business side, and you're running the content side. That's got to be stressful. How do you de-stress in the course of a normal day?
Well, I don't know any better, right? Like, I don't know what it's like really to go work for someone. I've been working for myself since I was 20. I opened my first business when I was 20 years old. The job before that, the only real job that I had to report to someone was a job at the Gap that I got when I was 16. I worked there till I was 20. So that's the only real, you know, long-term job that I had. I was doing IT for a company, but it was, I don't even consider that real work. Because I went in 3 days a week, and it wasn't complicated IT. It was just very simple stuff. I just did computer maintenance for the people. So, like, it really – and it was pretty short term. So I've only worked for myself my adult life. So the stress actually drives me. And this is something I've always spoken to my wife about. I'm, like you said, I'm an intense person, much like you. People always describe me as intense. I'm a little neurotic at times. I have obsessive compulsive disorder. So there are things that I'll focus in on and I can't let it go. I also have ADD, and that's why I'm able to kind of switch cameras and talk into a microphone and make sure the stream's going. But it kind of drives me, the fact that I have to juggle so many things rather than just focusing in on one tiny little thing or one large thing.
Now, have you actually been diagnosed with ADD? Back when I was a kid, that wasn't really a thing. There's a good chance I have it. I don't really feel like getting diagnosed because I don't want to like lose whatever edge it may have given me. But is that something you actually have?
Yeah, you know, when I was I think 18, I was in college. So my first semester, I had a really difficult time because I was working and I was in school, and I decided to go to a doctor. And my doctor, I went to a psychiatrist after that, and they said, well, you have ADD. You can't, I was telling them I can't focus in on one thing. I lose, you know, interest in things. So they gave me Concerta, which I guess it's a grown-up version of Ritalin. I took it for about a week, and I hated the way I felt on it, and I never even took it again. I don't think my ADD was always that bad. Obviously, you know, these are terms that we use. And we kind of box people in, but it's a full spectrum. You don't like there's different levels of it. There are people that severely cannot sit and focus on one thing, and I have that ooh shiny thing. You know, I hear a bird outside, and I just go out and I'll look at the bird for like 15 minutes, and I'll come back and I'll start working again.
Something reminded me. Something just replayed in my head, probably because of my ADD. I'm like, you know, people think I'm always angry. It's because I have resting bitch face. My face.
My wife says that all the time. My wife says she has resting bitch face.
Yeah, so this is my face without me having an expression. It usually looks quite angry. I'm not trying to get that across, but that's something that I've learned to change. Since we have trouble focusing, both of us have trouble focusing, one of the things I've seen about trying to become happy or become content is about meditation. And that requires actual focus on things like the breath, shutting out other ideas. How have you found the ability to focus in on being happy as opposed to having hundreds of different thoughts coming in from the business side, the content side, you've got a wife, you've got wine, you've got lots of fun stuff.
I do have a lot of fun stuff.
How do you handle all of the stimuli when it requires such focus
One thing about me, is that if I commit to something, I can't let it go. Like the network, for example. When I started this, my wife thought, well, that's fine. He's going to do a podcast until he gets a job. It'll keep him busy. She never thought it would turn into a career. But when I start something, I really get committed to it. And I really want to I set an insane goal for myself. And hopefully I'll achieve it. If not, I have a very difficult time dropping it. The same for me. Working is almost my inner peace. I thrive on the insanity, and in a weird way makes me feel comfortable. I used to work out a lot, and that used to help a lot with, you know, relaxing. And then I started meditating a couple years ago. I haven't done it recently, unfortunately, but it was probably the most peaceful time of my life. I have a friend that got into TM, Transcendental Meditation, and he was telling me how great it's been for him. So I said, you know what? I want to try it. Let's do it. And I would actually do it with him, and I absolutely loved it, but the problem is that was something I couldn't commit to 100%.
Yeah, I'm using an app right now. I think it's called Buddhify 2. I don't know why it's Buddhify 2 with a number 2, but maybe it's the second rev of the app. It's available for iOS. It's about $3, and it has some guided meditations. I've always had a hard time I've read how to meditate. You sit there, you focus on the breath, and you try to basically let your thoughts come in and out and just kind of not ignore them, but so much as you are aware they exist, but you're not going to pay attention to them. And I've always found it very difficult, but now that I have this crazy commute, folks don't know, I live in Petaluma right now, and I commute to San Francisco every day, which is about an hour and a half on a bus. And I've been meditating on the bus thanks to this app. It's only a 7-minute commitment. I find when you're going past 10 minutes, it's really hard. How in-depth was TM?
The way that I did it, I only followed him and what he was telling me, but it gets really deep to the point that, you know, here are the things about TM. At one point in the 70s, it was actually classified as a cult. It's weird, some of the stuff that you find out about these things, but much like anything else, you know, anything that was new or anything that's like organized, anything, it would be considered bad. But they actually believe that you could levitate at one point. Mm-hmm. In meditation, and it really goes out there, but I was doing the really early stuff, And I really enjoyed it, but I think I would have enjoyed any type of meditation at that point. I think I really needed it, and it kind of I still put in a lot of things that I learned from it. Like, if I'm taking a shower, I'm able to kind of block out everything, and that's almost like meditating for me.
Yeah, I found that if I'm working out, that actually is one of the things that keeps me sane. There are three things I got to do to keep sane. So I've got to get a good night's sleep, I should be eating breakfast, and I've got to work out. So for the past couple of weeks, I haven't been able to do any of those things properly. So I've been going a little stir crazy, which is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, because I would like to continue to have some kind of semblance of peace. But in the last couple of days, I've corrected that a bit, added some sleep, working out a bit more. I just need to somehow get my oatmeal in the morning. It's all about brain chemistry at the end of the day. It's just, how do you fool yourself into being happy? That's a probably horrible way of putting it. Do you ever think about that, fooling yourself into being happy?
Yeah, but have you always been like that? Like, as a kid, I remember I'm an okay person. Like, I'm good to be around. I'm a good drunk, obviously, because people never complain. Some people prefer that I have a couple of drinks, but I'm pleasant to be around. But if you know me, like my wife, I'm a very unhappy person. I have singular moments of happiness, but I never have long-term happiness.
Yeah, finding that's the point of not just the show, but that's almost like the point of just existence, right? It's trying to find that. And I think one of the weird things is, like, what I found is my brain would create problems to solve. And if there was no problem, it would create a new one, because that's all it would want to do. It's almost like it's got all this processing cycles going on, and it needs to fill it. And it'll create its own problem, and it'll keep you unhappy. And you don't suffer from that idea that contentment is complacency, do you?
In a weird way, I do. Yeah. I'm not happy with content, because that, to me, that means that I'm not thinking about what's next, especially with business. I'm never content with business. Obviously everybody coasts at one point, right? We get comfortable, we start making some money, or we find a job, or we're in a relationship and we start coasting. With me, I'm never I look at it as I could be doing something else to elevate wherever I am in life. And that kind of keeps me going. And my search for inner peace, which I don't know if I'll ever find it, it's a struggle for me. I always look at it as, okay, this is what keeps me going. Do I want to change this? And if I alter the way that I am now, is that a negative? Will it impact me in some way?
Yeah, there's that fear of changing what made you successful and then trying to be relaxed. And one of the books I was reading, it's a small book, really easy to read, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, I believe it's by Richard Carlson. And one of the chapters, and these chapters are like a page and a half. These are really short things that you can read pretty much anytime. One of the things this guy mentioned, he goes, don't forget that quiet, well-spoken people can also be motivated. So the idea that you don't need to necessarily be so intense all the time and still, you can be intense or not intense, that is, excuse me, and also be successful at the same time. It's something about, pulling off the acceleration is kind of like frightening at first, but I think sometimes if you can slow down and actually enjoy the successes, that was something I started really, I think my kid really helped me with that, because you become very excited at the most mundane things. If any other human being did this, you would not be excited about this. This person is walking. This person is putting together two words in a sentence. That is not exciting if this person is, over the age of like 12.
Yeah.
But there's something about these small moments that are extraordinarily impactful. And now I'm not saying everybody out there has to go get a kid to understand that kind of thing. But you get a perspective that even when you're successful in business, these small things are not as small as they seem. Like, just like you landing your first sponsor or whatever. Those are monstrously important things. Just it's just hard to pull back.
I think especially within the business side, I think being a little overly aggressive and being loud and being pushy is almost looked at as a positive thing as far as you're doing your job right. Especially like in sales, for example. We deal with a lot of companies that, for ad sales and stuff like that, most of them are phenomenal. The ones that I don't want to work with, and I will literally end the meeting, I'll say I have to go somewhere and that's it, are the ones that are overly aggressive and they're pushing for something. They're looking for something that's not there. And I think that's the quiet ones, like you said, it's almost like people consider the quiet ones, the ones that aren't as loud and almost obnoxious, as being weak or not good at their job, when I totally feel it's the total opposite. I think those are the ones that I kind of want to do business with because they're not overly aggressive.
You know, I think if we were going to do a show like this, or if I'm going to be interviewing a bunch of people over time, I think I would like to know what the chat room thinks right now, what they think, not just of the show, but their own either struggles or the successes with inner peace or just trying to find happiness, whatever that might be. We've got a chat room. It's at irc.geekshed.net when we do the show live, whenever that's going to be. We don't have a time that's settled yet, but the room's GFQ Live. And if you guys are there right now, I see there's 92 of you in there. If you got any ideas you'd like to share, now would be the time to do that, because I think that I want to keep this kind of show short, right? I don't want people to be stuck listening to me talking for an hour or pulling information out of somebody like Andrew, because, you know, Andrew can talk for like seven days in a row, I think.
Nonstop.
And I say that with love.
Oh, of course. I actually have a question for you. You brought up, you know, inner happiness. Were you a happy kid? Do you remember being happy as a child, like for long periods of time, or do you just sporadically remember moments of happiness?
Absolutely not happy. No. So I am one of four kids. There's the oldest boy, there's the girl, there's me, and the youngest. So somehow I managed in a family of four children to be the middle child, because I'm the second boy. And I'm the second youngest. So I'm not anything unique. So also my younger brother's birthday was very close to mine, 6 days apart. And so we would have combined birthdays. So I remember getting, you always have to give in to the little one. So if I had two toys like these, they'd go to him first. And that would drive me insane. And there's videos of me at like the age of five with my brow furrowed and just intense, like, I was an intense freaking kid, and I'm an intense adult. I'm a lot less, I like to think less intense because I'm learning a bit, but I was super intense and shy and awkward. And so I don't know if there's moments, I'm sure there's moments of happiness. You know, I've seen videos of me playing around and having a good time, but most of my memories are like, man, I got screwed off. There was this, I'll share this childhood story. There was a combined birthday, I think it's back in 86 or so, where there was one Rodimus Prime. Andrew, do you know who Rodimus Prime is?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, for those of you who don't know, in the Transformers movie when Optimus Prime dies, and this is the animated movie from 85 or 86, I think.
Which was the best one, if you ask me.
Because, you know, you've got The Touch is one of the songs in it, and it features Unicron. Anyway, before I get too far into that, Rodimus Prime was going to be the new leader of the Transformers. Now, my parents bought one of them, just one toy for the two of us, which would never work because I'm a selfish little brat at the time. And my younger brother's a little kid. He's like three, right? He's not going to even notice what's going on. So my older brother decides to play Peacemaker by doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe to determine who's going to get what. Now, there's actual video footage of this. And if this was a real show, I would find it and I would show you guys this. My older brother's doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And I realize I'm going to win, and I'm excited because, you know, I know the game. And then he does, my mother said to pick this one. He did an extra move to give my younger brother the toy. I get furious on the video and storm off. My younger brother, who's all of three, is super excited because he doesn't know what's going on. And he finally wins the toy. And I'm just like, you know, that happened a lot. So that was, I mean, that was a really, it wasn't a bad birthday. And then looking in the big scale of things, although, by the way, if there is a Rodimus Prime out there, I will buy it for myself one day. It was one of those things. Like, that's kind of the childhood memories I have. Not necessarily like, oh, remember this great time? It's like, no, I remember that. But that's just a bitter, bitter little kid. But that's the kind of, like, I was intense then, and I'm intense now, but it's like managing intensity. There's a title.
Managing intensity. But see, those are things that you never forget about. Like, that never leaves, right? They say who you are at 6 years old is who you will be later on in life, that the core personality never changes. For me, I'm neurotic, and I always fear the worst is about to happen. I still feel that way. If my wife is driving in the bad weather, like today, the first thing that I think before I go back to bed at 5:30 in the morning is, well, I better grab my phone in case she dies in a car accident. My wife called me the other day. She told me she felt dizzy. The first thing my mind goes to is, I better have my phone on me in case she passes out and crashes the car.
That's a little darker. You might need more help than I do.
Yeah, but those are normal thoughts. I mean, I don't think normal people think that way, and I don't think they should. I always think worst case scenario first, and if it doesn't happen, it was good. That was a good day.
Yeah, that's how actually I've taken to my birthdays. If it's a boring day, I'm very happy. I actually become very content if nothing bad happens, because usually my birthdays were... That's a mild story, but most of my birthdays I want to just hide under a table until the day is over. But I would recommend not being so extreme. That's currently something I'm dealing with now. I'm a very black or white kind of guy. It's like, okay, here's how it's going to be. You know, either you'll get my attention all the time, or you won't get any of it. And it's really hard for me to do a middle ground thing, and I'm learning to do that. This kind of balanced approach. There was this quote I got from a guy today. It was what was it? And I think that'll be the tagline of the show in general. It was, I think it's, there's no strength without balance, and I think that's really, it's very difficult to find. But if you can find balance, and you just got to figure out what's the most important thing. Because I know for myself, I had to prioritize a lot of things in my life to make it the way it is. But that's a lot. I don't want this necessarily to be about me and my struggle, but like, there are things I'm very curious about how people get to there. Because, I mean, Andrew, it's got to be risky to go, you know what, I'm going to work for me, and I'm going to see how this works. And I might be living off of ramen or dealing with debt for months, but I'm going to try this anyway.
Yeah, it's a risk thing. I kind of, for someone that likes to play it safe when it comes to money and business, I kind of like to take a risk. I find it exciting. My wife, for example, she can't stomach this. She can't stomach the concept of, okay, December's here. January is when all the new ads are going to renew. It's January 1st. They haven't emailed us. Oh, okay. January 7th, we haven't heard from them. And then like January 18th, we'll get an email saying like, hey, everything's back on. We're all good. Like, she can't deal with the fact that maybe there's no money coming. What do you do then? For me, when it comes to that, it's going to come. Just hang on. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, dealing with uncertainty. I was reading a thing a while ago about lucky people. People who are lucky are those who are, they're not necessarily lucky, but these are people who could sometimes handle uncertainty a lot better than other people. So the thing about, oh, that guy got a really lucky break. Look how great things that worked out for them. They're usually probably dealing with a lot of uncertainty. And it's in dealing with that uncertainty that they allow themselves to be open to opportunities that might sound crazy to you or I. We're like, that's nuts. I don't know if I could live with that. Like, Andrew, you're talking about these guys coming in to pay you. If they're not going to show up, you can have that anxiety. But if you can live with that uncertainty, as you're doing, it makes it easier. Is there any like weird trick you use, or is that just the way your brain is wired? You're like, you know what? Uncertainty? Eh.
I feel like with business, I could deal with uncertainty because I could control it. It is my decision to be doing this. I have decided that this is the situation I'm going to put myself in. I know the risks, and I could kind of justify it in my head, and I could almost lie to myself. Even if I do, like, in the back of my head, of course, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's no check coming. They're not responding to my emails. But I could, in a weird way, lie to myself in my head and fool myself at the time being and say, Andrew, this is all normal. This happens every year. Even though it does happen every year, this is just how it works. I'm still, it's a conversation I have with myself in my head, and it's crazy. I justify it, and I play that person that says, don't worry, it's going to be fine. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. That's how I deal with it. But it's, you know, like, I went to Mexico about a month ago. Was I back by now? No, I wasn't. We went to Mexico for a New Year's trip to relax. My wife told me I was under way too much stress. She was starting to see it. We should go away. And I said, you know what? Let's book this vacation. And I never book vacations at all because I think it's a waste of time. So we decide we're going to Cancun. We get to Cancun. The weather's awful. The trip was awful. Everything about it was awful. Plus, we got stuck in Mexico. I was fine with the weather not being good because I chose to go there knowing the risk that the weather may not be good. But the day that we were supposed to come back, we got stuck there because of the big storm, and plus JetBlue wasn't flying. That's when I had a mental breakdown in the hotel, and I locked myself in my room. Even though there was nothing I could do, I would get out back, you know, back to the States in a day or two, just knowing that it was out of my control. It was the worst feeling in the world. And in that moment, there's no talking to me that it's going to be fine. It really was. It was like the earth was ending. It was that bad.
I haven't had to deal with planes being grounded or dealing with that. The closest thing I think recently I've dealt with anything like that was when I was stuck on the road for about this is when I was driving in my commute. It took me about 3 hours to get home because there was a multi-car pileup. But and I can't be in the carpool lane because I was the only one in the car. And I was just thinking, you know what? I can get really angry and I could just get really worked up, or I can just sit here, realize I got a pretty nice car. At least the inside is nice. The chair's comfortable. I'm going very slowly. I know I'm wasting lots of gas, but at least I'm in a warm spot. That's how I was trying to, you know, think about traffic, because it's really how you frame your head or frame the situation that you'll actually deal with it. So if you have the idea of, I can't believe this is happening, and you're feeling like it's terrible, you're going to get burned. You're going to get really angry.
But see, that's something that most people know as a child, right? They brought up, like my wife, very relaxed. Her family is so level-headed. They will fix a situation. Something awful could happen. They'll say, okay, how do we make this better? In my family, it's either hot or cold. You go from a 0 to 100 instantly. It's never, there's no middle ground. Either everything is awful or everything is great. And I think that's embedded in me still to this day. There's no making a situation better. If something happens and it throws off your plan, I am totally screwed up for the rest of the day, to the point that, like, even this is the one thing when I talk about how my craziness kind of helps my business. The one thing that cripples my business and cripples me as a person is that I have to live a strict day. I know what I'm doing at 6 o'clock. I know what I'm doing at 8 o'clock. I have to schedule my meetings 2 weeks in advance because everything in my life is set up. My calendar is packed to the hour, every hour. If one thing goes off, let's say I'm stuck in traffic for an extra hour or something, a meeting gets canceled, my day is ruined. I shut down the entire day.
I have suffered that same kind of thing before, where if something doesn't go according to plan, I get really flustered. That's something I'm learning to deal with. Just kind of go with the flow kind of feel. I think we should wrap up, though, because this is enough of a program, yeah. I think. I'm gonna hit up some points that the chat room made. Arlie Carson says, the secret to your success is hidden in your daily routine.
I agree with that. I
think there might be something to that. CR1 says, anxiety only occurs when there's doubt. I have no doubt about my business abilities. I fail spectacularly. I don't think there's anything wrong with failing, by the way. Failing is how
it's
you
the only
learn.
Way you learn, yeah.
And Randall Hicks says, I find a quirky sense of humor goes a long way to diffusing stressful situations at work. I think humor is incredibly important, because if you take yourself too seriously, wow, can you cause yourself some issues? And somebody asked a question. MacBook Pro asked this question. I think this could be a good topic for another episode. How are you supposed to measure success and failure? That I think is very intriguing. It could lead to a whole other discussion. But I think that'll be the end of this first alpha episode. I don't know. I think I'm going to call the show Quest for Peace, because I'm a Superman fan. Superman 4 was called Quest for Peace. And I'm sure they're not exactly going to come after me for that. And the day they do, that will be very hilarious. So, Andrew, thank you for having me on your network.
Anytime.
And for being the guinea pig, as it were.
Anytime. I'll love to do it again. This is like a therapy session for me at this point.
There we go. Except nobody's listening. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Yes, I know. Superman 4 is the worst movie. Actually, it was the worst of the original four. But Superman Returns was pretty freaking bad. But Quest for Peace, I like that idea, because that's what I'm on. I'm effectively on a quest. There we go. And thanks, everybody, for listening and coming in live. There was like 90, over 90 of you guys in the chat room. I have no idea how many people are watching this live stream. If you're watching this on a recording, thank you for watching this. Or if you're listening to a recording, thanks for listening. I don't have an email address set up for this, but you can always hit me on Twitter at Iaz. That's Iyaz. And Andrew, should people contact you if they want to help you handle your stress?
Yes. You can contact me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. I'm on Facebook. You can message me there. Or you could email skiesfromqueens@gmail.com. I'm always looking for inner peace.
And I'll stick to that line I stole from somebody else. There's no strength without balance. Go find balance.